From 99.9 The Fan, this is The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Sponsored by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at CapitalFinancialUSA.com.
For the Carolina Panthers, the first running back off the board. They broke the seal on the running backs. Panthers draft grade. This is the entirety of it. It's not Jeff Xavier Leggett. It's not just Jonathan Brooks. It's not just. It's all of them. I'm going B minus.
Okay.
B minus. You're passing comfortably, right?
Yeah.
If anyone asks, what do you say? B? I have B. But what is it really? Darn near a C. You're close, right? It's a B minus. And part of it was there is an element of they were trying to get back to neutral this year. This new group, it was actually funny. I saw Panthers fans complaining that the Ringer, which is Bill Simmons' site, their website, they cover a whole bunch of sports and pop culture. They gave out draft-like reviews for each team. And I saw Panthers fans were mad on social media that the first couple of sentences about this year's Panthers review was about last year's Bryce Young trade. And my thought was, well, you can't tell the story of this year's draft without explaining why they didn't have the number one overall pick,
mm-hmm.
without explaining why they were not going to have their full complement of picks, and they had to make up for that. So there was an element of, you know, they started behind the eight ball. They started with everyone else having a head start on them because of a trade that the previous regime made last year. So I don't even know, if an A-plus was a possibility for them.
Oh, God, no.
They could have got value, that I see or that the experts see at every pick, and I'd still be going like, A-minus. Like, just because they started off trailing. Now, I have favorite picks. I have shoulda, woulda, couldas. I have a whole bunch of observations here. But part of the story is Bryce Young was a part of this draft class. Right? And guess what? Part of the Bears draft class was Keenan Allen because they traded their fourth round pick for Keenan Allen, right? Those things all happen. It's all part of the total value. So if you spent part of this year's total value on Bryce Young last year, like, a third of Bryce Young is part of this year's draft class. Let's hear from Dave Canales on bringing talent in offensively, which is definitely what the first half of the draft was for the Carolina Panthers.
Absolutely. I feel like we really took advantage of some of those spots to, bring a bunch of talent, into our roster, specifically talking about the offense, looking positionally, with a running back, a receiver, and a tight end, skill-wise, just really bringing a little bit of juice there to really challenge that whole group and elevate the offense. So I'm really excited about what we did there.
Here's why I like the first three offensive picks of the Dave Canales and Dan Morgan era. They knew what they wanted. And they didn't care if it's what I wanted or if it's what Mel Kiper thought they wanted, mm-hmm. or if it was what Todd McShay or some other team thought they wanted. They knew what they wanted, and they were not going to be moved off of that that stance, right? They wanted Jonathan Brooks. They traded up to get a running back, which is not usually the position you see teams start with when they're doing a rebuild. And he's coming off an ACL injury, which is not usually what players are hoping to do going into their NFL draft prospect season. So he wasn't able to do a lot of the pre-draft stuff. But he's the player that Dave Canales and Dan Morgan wanted, and they went to get him. Same thing with Leggett, the last pick of the first round, trading up to go get him. It wasn't, well, there's this group of McConkey and Coleman and Leggett, and we're going to take whichever one falls to us. There's one we want. Let's go get him. It wasn't, everybody had Cooper DeJean mocked as a mid-first rounder. We can get him at pick 39. It was, no, we're trading back from pick 39. That's what we want to do. The tough decisions. Who would have expected Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon, to be available with the first pick in the fourth round? Nobody. But the Panthers didn't pivot and go, we do need receivers. They said, no, Jatavion Sanders. That's our guy, Texas, tight end. I don't care if it's not what the mock drafts say or if we could get a steal in value by bringing in Troy Franklin. It was about what they thought. Now, here's why I go B minus rather than A. I do think part of the draft is paying attention to what everybody else wants. It's not just about what you want. Because if you want something that everybody else doesn't want, you can move back. You can get value for it, right? If you want something, but you know the next five people in the draft don't want it, see if you can find value there, right? Half the draft is knowing your board. The other half is doing your darndest to pay attention to what you think every other team needs. I do think the Panthers got a little bit too bogged down into this is about us, right?
No, they had their plan. They stuck with it.
It's what coaches say, right? It's about us. It's not about them. But their quarterback has a strong arm, and he likes throwing rolling left, so pay attention to that. I'm going, wait a second. Is it about us? Or is it about, we need to know their scouting report, but it's about us? That's kind of how I look at a draft. It's we got to know what we want, what we value. But we should also pay attention to what everybody else wants and what everybody else values. I think they could have gotten Brooks a little bit later. I think they could have gotten a few guys that they drafted a little bit later, maybe even the next round. Now, maybe they didn't want to play that bit of gambling, right? They didn't want to worry about it. But I think that's part of the draft, is seeing that value and taking advantage of it. Also, if I were being extremely nitpicky, Hunter Norzad was a Penn State center who went to the Chiefs two picks after the Panthers took Shaw Smith-Wade.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have liked to see the center there. But we can get nitpicky on every call.
Yeah, you can get nitpicky on all this stuff.
It's a fifth round. Like if the biggest regret you have is like, oh, I wish you would have flipped some guys in the fifth round, you're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wish you would have waited a little bit to draft that guy. I think he did pretty well. Also, they did get their picks back for the future. Dennis, I know you're big on this.
Very big on this.
Essentially, they've used Brian Burns to erase the collateral damage of the Bryce Young trade,
yeah.
Meaning they used one of the seconds to get up into the first round, which they didn't have because of the Bryce Young trade, and they picked up a second rounder next year, which they wouldn't have because of the Bryce Young trade. So there is an element of Dan Morgan on the phone, a la the movie Draft Day, I want my picks back. All of them.
Yeah, they had to do some work to get it done. But you got to think that when Dan Morgan was promoted to be general manager, the Panthers only had five draft picks, none of them in the first round, and did not have a second round pick in 2025. And he walks out. Now, granted, he had to give up Brian Burns to make this happen, but you walk out with seven picks, including a first rounder, and you got your 2025 second round pick coming in from part of the move down early in the second round. So to me, the fact that he walked out with seven picks this year and you got your second round pick next year, outside of players, well done. That's why I give the draft a B+ for the Panthers. I give it a B+ because of what he was able to do even before the draft. Because before the draft started, he only had six. He stretched it and made it seven, and you got a pick next year. Job well done.
And the other thing is, this is why I talked about, like, it was a lot of work to get back to neutral.
Mm-hmm.
They had one pick in the first, one pick in the second, one pick in the third, one pick in the fourth, one pick in the fifth, sixth, and seventh. They did a lot of moving up and down to end up where they kind of could have been, generically, obviously, different points in each of those rounds, but to end up kind of generically where the team starts before anyone starts messing with it. So I do give him credit for that. Now it's, you know, you got to stick to your guns on the names you like and the reasoning behind taking them. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement. Also, make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700. Peyton Wilson, tumbled in the draft much further than I expected him to. He was the best defensive football player in the college football ranks, not like team MVP. I'm talking best in the country defensive player for the NC State Wolfpack. He fell all the way to pick 98, which was the third to last pick in the third round. We're into the compensation picks of the third round.
Mm-hmm.
His medical reports, right, when he took the physicals and the scans and everything else, must have been a sight to see. It must have been red flag, red flag, red flag. And that is the stuff we can't predict about the draft, right? Everyone looks at it and looks for, oh, he'll fit with the Eagles at pick 50, or maybe he'll even work his way into the 40s. What we can't predict is everybody that took him maybe even completely off their board. Because if you listen to Mel Kiper talking on the broadcast, he doesn't have an ACL in one of his knees.
Yeah, I think Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network said the same thing. Yeah, reportedly doesn't have an ACL in one of his knees.
Doesn't have an ACL in one of his knees.
He said torn it multiple times.
Which makes me wonder, what was he tearing? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
If it wasn't there, is this good? Is this good news? You can't tear an ACL if you don't have one.
That's true.
The Steelers took him with the 98th pick. Here's my advice to the Steelers based on how harrowing the medicals must have been for Peyton Wilson for him to drop that far. Right, I'm looking at the player he was, what he put on tape, the 40 he ran at the combine, everything I'm looking at that says he should be somewhere in the draft, and then he ends up somewhere far below that. I'm going, all right, those must have been harrowing medicals. It's the only explanation I can have. Here's my advice. You play him right away, and you play him till the wheels fall off. Because you might not have, if the medicals are that scary, you might be one misstep, one false step away from it all being over. Or if, like, you know, sometimes you hear this with, like, when there's no cartilage in a knee or something, it's like the Brandon Roys of the world. For those of you that remember Brandon Roy with the Blazers, his knees, it was like a ticking clock in the bottom corner of a thriller. It was, well, it's not going to last long, but he's going to be really darn good while he's here. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, if you have Peyton Wilson, you play him, and you play him until the wheels fall off, because he is going to burn bright while he is on the field, and you have a steal as far as quality, but it might not last forever. And then if you do, by the way, speaking of the Steelers, apparently Hines Ward didn't have an ACL. Looked it up, according to some reporting. He had a bicycle accident when he was in fourth grade, and since then he just didn't have an ACL. He played forever and was really good with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you have this whole dramatic decision on, we're going to play Peyton Wilson now because who knows how long it's going to last. 14 years later, you're like, he's still pretty good.
Yeah. He just had three interceptions.
Yeah, what is going on here? This is how, actually, I wanted to bring this up at the beginning. This is how I know the Peyton Wilson medicals were harrowing, and it's the thing that is gut-wrenching for a player because, right, injuries and things you can't predict, and they're even more brutal when it's before they got to live out their dream and all that. The Panthers took a linebacker in the third round, and it wasn't Peyton Wilson. They took Trevin Wallace. That's how you know the medicals said absolutely not. Luke Kuechly said into a microphone, and everyone that'll put a microphone in front of his face into the lead up of the NFL draft, said that Peyton Wilson is awesome. Peyton Wilson is great. Peyton Wilson did this, did that. All of this kind of hyping him up. And the Panthers took a different guy at the same position in the same round that Peyton Wilson was drafted. Do you realize how aggressively the doctor or trainer or whatever would have had to look at Dan Morgan and then Dave Canales and go no, to overrule Luke Kuechly looking at him and saying yes? It had to be like this reason and that reason. So I'm feeling for Peyton Wilson on this one. As much as you can feel for a guy that went 98th in the NFL draft.
Yeah, he was still picked in the third round. He's going to a pretty darn good franchise.
Coming from a Steelers fan.
I mean, he's going to a really good franchise.
Squeaking into the third round, day two pick. I'm really glad he didn't go four picks later.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that would have been the Panthers. So five picks later.
Yeah.
Because then he would have had to wait that whole extra day of just everyone he knows texting him going, man, what's happening? Oh, did you hear from anybody? What's your agent saying? Would have been a brutal day. The Drive with Tim Donnelly, 99.9 The Fan. Speaking of Trevin Wallace, consider me absolutely shocked that over 50% of the Panthers' picks went defense. Everything we could see from our own eyes on the outside said they need to build up offense around Bryce Young, and then they started with, what was it, three of their first four picks on offense, and I was going like, this is it. This is going to be a weekend celebration of get Bryce more help. Turns out with the first pick in the Saturday edition of the draft, so they had the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds. With the first pick in the fourth round, the party of getting Bryce Young people to play with on offense came to a close. Abrupt halt. Here's Dan Morgan on the plan this offseason towards building the offense.
Free agent-wise, you know, we looked at where we thought was strong in free agency and then where we thought it was going to be strong in the draft and, you know, kind of come up with a plan of how we should attack it. And it just really came out that way, to where we attacked the interior, the offensive line, got that right. And then we were, you know, it left us with the flexibility, you know, to go into the draft and, you know, draft a wide out, draft a tight end. And, just some guys that we like that we can kind of surround Bryce with and make this team and this offense better.
All the plans, offense. Third round, Trevin Wallace, Kentucky linebacker. Fifth round, Shaw Smith-Wade, Washington State cornerback. Sixth round, Jaden Crumity, a Mississippi State defensive tackle. Seventh round, Michael Barrett, Michigan linebacker. Now, obviously, the saying 50% of the draft capital is a bit facetious because first round is going to be worth more than seventh round and so on. But do you know what this tells me? Dan Morgan is still Dan Morgan.
Which means?
That player in there is in there somewhere behind the gelled hair, the glasses, and the crisp suit of a GM. There's still Dan Morgan, the linebacker, in there. And he kind of hit us with the, I'm leaving here with something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not leaving a drive without a handful of defensive players. I'm still Dan Morgan over here.
Well, it's interesting what Trevin Wallace said in his post-draft availability with the media.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm out here to hurt people. Not like, hey, I want, you know, I'm out here to try and make plays, you know, do my best, you know, do my job, whatever it is I got to do and make plays. No, he's like, I'm out here to try and hurt people, and if you get hurt, I don't care. That's like, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's basically it. He's like, I'm out here to try and hurt people. I was like, as soon as I heard that, I was like, yeah, I see why Dan Morgan liked this guy. I'm out here to try
dogs.
And hurt people. I'm like, you, Dan Morgan talked about that dog mindset. Yeah. There it is, right there. 100%.
And that's, you know, we're going to talk a lot about the, actually coming up here in a few minutes, about the messages sent by the Panthers in this draft. Not like the literal messages, like, hey, we're drafting you, but like the overarching messages. What the defensive players ended up doing what they ended up doing by drafting those defensive players is Dan Morgan sent a message that said, I'm still. I respect that side of the ball, right? I understand the main priority was offense, but I'll never ignore my defense. Evero, still going to have to make some magic, still going to have to pull some rabbits out of a hat, but he has better ingredients to do so, right? More young bodies to do so. A lot of them will play on special teams. But I have to be honest, I would have been fine. I probably would have preferred if the whole weekend was about offense. If the entire offensive party was just started on Thursday, rolled through Saturday of just, hey, ho, add another offense, hip, hip, hooray, add another lineman, hip, hip, hooray, another wide receiver. I would have been cool if that was the entire weekend. But I just don't think Dan Morgan can go an entire draft just like, oh, another glory boy for the offense. Eventually, he's like, I need somebody that wants to tackle somebody.
In this case, try to hurt somebody.
And try to hurt somebody, try to gobble up blockers, try to, do what the Panthers, by the way, have, like, all their best teams have come with a great defense.
Oh, yeah.
They've had their offensive stars, their Steve Smiths. They've had their, you know, big players on that side.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. I mean, we go on and on. Even going back to, like, Stephen Davis. You can go as far as you want to go. Musin Muhammad. Now we're just guys naming dudes.
D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. Great one, too.
Jimmy Clausen. Never mind. Mo Kiper said he was going to retire if Jimmy Clausen didn't work out.
Yeah, it's funny. I still see him on my TV.
Saw him all weekend. But going back to what I was saying, like, there is certain parts of your DNA that you don't want to ignore. And I think that's what Saturday was about for the Panthers. Like, we're a defensive group. We're not going to ignore that. Not going to ignore it at all.
Jake, I'm getting worried. My house hunt's taking longer than expected. We've made so many offers and keep losing out.
You could really use the JAG advantage.
What's the JAG advantage?
The Jim Allen Group, number one real estate team in the state since 1996, with the largest inventory of home sites in the Triangle, 11,000. And they rep more than 65 communities.
The Jim Allen Group? Oh, I get it. The JAG advantage.
Goal! Learn how you can score with the Jim Allen Group at thejagadvantage.com. Equal housing opportunity.